Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Austin. Hey, friend.
Hey.
How's everything, Austin?
It's okay.
Just K?
Okay, just one letter.
Not even okay?
No, just K.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that.
What did you do this week?
Nothing interesting. Oh, God. What didn't I do this week?
You're in the moving process.
I am in the moving process. I don't know. Did we talk about this on the podcast?
I'm sure we did.
Well, I was going to say I got an extension on my lease, so I'm not in that much of a crunch anymore. But I'm still in the process of moving and organizing and repairing things around here so I can get my security deposit back.
And she won't let me see. She won't let me come over and look.
No, I can't. It's too embarrassing.
Pick up your laptop and like move it around because I want to see.
No, it's going to cause too much of a disturbance. Everything's plugged in.
That's what you really need for your new place is a desk with a good recording setup.
I know. Gosh, it's going to be a completely different setup when I get to my new place because for one thing, there's no carpet. So thank God for that, but I wonder how it will affect the audio.
Well, God knows mine has echo problems because I'm in this hallway and, you know, there's no carpet. I have rugs everywhere because I hate my flooring, but I'm sure I echo a bunch.
I mean, we don't have like sound booths or anything.
No, we do
Although,
not.
Speaking of rugs, I do need to get rugs because I don't currently have rugs.
Guess how many rugs I have.
Okay, let me think.
One.
You have one in the living room. You've got a runner in... No, wait. You got two runners, right?
Yeah, but I need to get rid of one of them. Actually, I have three runners.
Three runners?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. You have a rug in the spare room.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you have a rug in your bedroom? I forget.
I don't, but I want one. Because
how many rugs is that?
I'm rug crazy.
You are rug crazy. How many rugs is that?
There's one in the kitchen. There's one in the living room. There's one in the entrance. Two more runners. In the bathroom. In the guest room. And one in the laundry room. That's at least eight.
God, you might as well just have a full freaking place of carpet because...
I know.
Pretty much have rugs
everywhere. I hate my floors.
Why do you hate your floors so much?
They're so ugly and they're so sticky and they're so like...
Ew.
You know they're sticky.
Well, they're sticky because... What did we discover was the culprit of the stickiness?
The cleaning solutions.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... It's a gray... vinyl floor. I mean,
I hate it.
Well, what are you gonna spend the money to rip it all up and put different floor in? I don't think so.
After I come into my inheritance of $70 million, yeah.
Oh, good. Anyway, we have to figure out my rug situation for when I move. So,
oh my God, we've gone rug shopping without actually buying anything multiple times, but it's so fun.
I know. Isn't it so fun just going there with no intention of buying anything?
Oh my
and
God.
Then the guy is like hovering around and he's like, can I help you with anything? Can I help you with anything? And we're like, nah.
You just say, we're getting ideas.
That's what I've said like three times now. I'm like, we're just getting ideas. Well, we were just getting ideas. I mean, you can't just commit to something without knowing the dimensions and the aesthetic and the color palette.
Furniture shopping would be my favorite if it weren't for the annoying people trying to get commission. And I'm like, I know you're doing your job. I know it's not your fault, but you're still so fucking annoying.
Okay, I will say the place that we love, that we go to get our furniture, they're not bad.
It's not like when you go to, like, Ashley or something and they will not leave you the fuck alone.
Oh, Ashley is on my mortal enemy list, by the way.
Oh, I was thinking of Rooms to Go, actually. But yeah, them too.
Rooms to Go is also on my mortal enemy list. But Ashley... will never earn my business ever again. There is nothing that they could do to earn my business again. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about something else. Anything else interesting going on aside from me moving and stressing about it?
Well, speaking of stress, I got my hair cut the other day.
Oh, God.
Very desperately needed haircut. My friend is cutting my hair. I was in her, like, kitchen, and she's cutting my hair. And she says, ooh, look at all these grays.
Excuse me?
I was like, grays? I've never had a gray hair in my life. And she said, oh, you do now. And she, like, started pointing them out. She started counting. She's like, look at all them. They're over here in your temple. And she started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. She counted, like, several dozen hairs on my temple and on the back sides where I can't see them.
Oh, my God. See, that would make me sprout gray hairs right there, like, as she was counting, because I'd be like, are you kidding me?
Oh, and I was trying so hard not to panic, but she could tell. She's like, you're panicking. I was like, no, I'm not. Shut up.
Why did she point them out?
Oh, because she's an asshole. No, I said, it's good. I want to know. I want to know the status of my hairs.
Are you going to dye your hair?
Eventually, but not now.
Are you kidding? Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know what I'm going to do.
Embrace your aging.
I've done it before. I'm going to go platinum again.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Austin did have platinum hair once upon a time.
That was my COVID hair.
That was your COVID breakdown moment?
Yeah.
You had to dye your hair?
I'm literally going to do it again because I still have the special shampoo for that hair color, mm-hmm. for that hair dye. So I need to use it up and I'm going to be done.
Okay. All right.
I know that's illogical, but that's...
I keep waiting for the day when you get your ear pierced again.
That's not going to happen.
When I met Austin in college, he had a pierced ear.
Two pierced ears. I always had two.
Two pierced ears. Fine. And I was like, oh, that guy's the coolest.
You thought I was the coolest because I had pierced ears?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. You know what? I was never in my life the coolest.
You were the cool Pokemon guy.
That's true. I did have Pokeball earrings.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
They stained the fuck out of my skin on my ears.
Yeah, because they were like cheap. Alloy.
Yeah, I was like green everywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, gray hairs. What's funny is I did not have gray hairs in January when I got my hair cut last time. What has changed between now and then?
Okay, I'm trying to think of a major stressful event that has happened between now and January.
Give up?
Yeah. Oh, your neighbor's upstairs.
No, of course not.
Oh.
Maybe the fall of democracy in America in the end.
Oh, the... I completely wrote that out of my mind as a protection mechanism.
No, I think that... I genuinely think that might be it. That and I turned 33, so I'm getting my mid-30s. So it's like, you know, it's time for that to start happening.
So what, your biological clock just like struck 33 and it was like, ding, ding, time for gray hair.
It's like when I hit 25 and suddenly I was like... My metabolism was like, fuck you. It went away. And now I'm way heavier than I used to be.
That's like a note. Like, they say that is the case. Like, when you reach a certain age, your metabolism, like, slows down.
Yeah, then my doctor's like, that's not true. You're just fat. Fat ass. And I'm like, fuck you. I hate doctors. I need some apples to keep you away.
Throw apples at them.
I know.
I think you just need to find an empathetic doctor. Because they such thing. Are shitty.
They don't exist.
That is true.
Not in my experience.
I also agree with you. I've had bad medical experiences my entire life.
Oh, you have. Like, I know you have.
Never been a good doctor that I've ever had, so.
If you're a doctor, tell us why you don't suck.
Yeah, make your case, okay? Like, if you're the one good doctor, okay, fine. But I need some hard proof before I trust you. Anyway, if there's not anything else going on, I feel like that's a pretty short segment.
I got listener feedback and comments.
Oh, okay, we can jump into our listener feedback time.
Well, I got one from, guess who? Pokemon Megastar on Spotify.
Our good pal.
We discussed April Fool's episodes, and Pokemon Megastar says, sorry, I actually like the Digimon episode more than the Utena one, mainly because of the four, it's the only one I've seen fully. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Digimon, Pokemon is a natural connection there. Alex, I was on the same train of thought of the Magikarp salesman being a distraction for Cassidy and Butch. To infiltrate.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why you guys seem to think he's a Team Rocket member.
He could be employed. I think he fits because he's kind of scammy, but...
I feel like there were way too many scene transitions in the episode, but it was okay. Yeah, we didn't mention that. There was like these like wipes of Ash's Pokemon going across the screen.
Oh, yeah.
But there was like 30 of them.
Glad you enjoyed it, though.
Jesse beating up her captures is my favorite. So Viper got some major head trauma and lost all that cool factor. That's a good theory.
He had massive head trauma. Ugh. Poor Seviper. I had no idea what he was getting into.
So Viper stays until Innova. So yay!
So we have a lot of Seviper to look forward to.
Thank goodness. But also the spin pound reminds me of another spinning move in Sinnoh. I thought of that too. Alex, did you think of that?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Like always. I don't remember anything.
So. Okay. It's a pretty big signature of the Diamond and Pearl.
Bigger than Flame Ice?
Yes.
Bigger than Ice Chandelier?
Yes. Counter Shield.
Oh, Counter Shield. Oh my God. I completely forgot about Counter Shield. Thank you.
Yep.
God, I'm so looking forward to Sinnoh. I know we have a while to go.
We have years to go, actually.
Years and years and years. Yeah, I'm not trying to undersell the fact that we have a long time. But Sinnoh and Diamond and Pearl are my favorite anime-wise. Well, thank you, Pokemon Megastar. We appreciate your feedback, as always. Please keep it coming. And anybody else out there who also has thoughts on their mind, please let us know. Okay, we have this week A Bite to Remember and the Lotad Lowdown. What's our order this week, Austin?
I don't know. Why don't you tell us, Dragonite?
Tell us.
Annie, are you okay? Tell us.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
I'm doing the 30-second summary for the
perfect
first one.
All right, Austin, are you ready to bite down on this 30-second summary?
Sure.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
It's a Max episode, and Max has some learning to do because he needs to learn that evolution doesn't happen on a schedule in the Pokemon anime world. This isn't the video game, so he needs to get out of that mindset. And he becomes obsessed with a Poochyena that he wants to evolve into a Mightyena, like its littermates. But Ash and Brock are like, you can't do that, and Max is like, I'm going to do it anyway. And he actually does, because he gets that Poochyena to evolve into a Mightyena at the end of the episode. And that's it.
Time. You were padding it out there on the end.
Yeah.
But that was pretty much it.
What did you think of this one? Was it a bite to remember?
I will say that I probably won't remember this in a few episodes. It wasn't exactly like the most standout of the Hoenn episodes that we've had so far.
No. I like that we went back to the teaching the newbies stuff.
Yeah, this was very much a in case you're new here kind of episode. And giving some foundational knowledge of how Pokemon work. So that's kind of what this episode's purpose is. So let's just jump right in. We are back in the woods again. I thought Jesus we were out Christ. Of the woods. We are not.
We're not out of the woods yet.
Just when I think I was out, they pull me right back in.
To the woods.
Into the woods.
Into the woods. Into the woods.
Is that from something called Into the Woods?
Yes, it is.
You want to like...
Yes, it's a that. Musical called Into the Woods.
Wow. Thank you, Austin. I'm not like a big musical person, so you may have to like teach me a thing or two.
I'm not a big musical person.
Cats.
Oh my God, that's what we need to watch is Starlight Express.
We tried to watch Starlight Express. We couldn't find it anywhere.
No, I found it.
Yeah, but it was like a potato quality.
Yeah, well, that's the only way you're going to find it.
What kind of viewing experience is that?
Okay, I'll watch it by myself. How about that?
Okay. Maybe I'll think about it. You did watch the Tom Petty documentary for me, and I appreciate your sacrifice.
Okay, what else can I make you watch?
God only knows. Just sit and think about it for a while.
Okay, I will.
Okay, so May and Max are observing various wild Pokemon in the surrounding area, and there's a lot of them. We have some common ones. We've got some Zigzagoon, some Aipom are hanging around, some Beautifly flying overhead, very pretty. And then also we have the resident Stantler. But just have to say Stantler over and over again.
I hate how Stantler say their name. Because when we first met Stantler, they made like little noises. And now they just say Stantler.
I hate it too. Because like, okay, Zigzagoon and Aipom and all those other ones, they just make little like... chirpy animal noises.
Well, Zigzagoon says Zigzagoon, and Aipom says Aipom.
But somehow it's less obnoxious.
I think it's because Stantler is just saying Stantler. It's not making an animal noise that resembles the word Stantler.
it's like a deer. What if you were in the woods, right? And then you saw a deer come up to you, and the deer was just like, deer, deer. That would be really horrible.
That would be really horrible.
I just can't abide Stantler. I'm sorry, guys. It needs some help. Anyway, this is not a Stantler episode. I thought maybe we would have a little bit more focus on the Stantler, but no, they just stand majestically on a rock screaming Stantler, and then they leave.
Why was there so many Johto Pokemon when we're in Hoenn, baby? We're just filling out those scenes with Johto Pokemon.
Because we can't shock people all at once, Austin.
Oh, okay.
We have to have a slow, gradual exposure to the Hoenn Pokemon.
We couldn't have, like, Linoons and, like, Seedots and, I don't know, what other Pokemon?
Well, we haven't had those episodes yet.
True.
We can't introduce Pokemon without them being in their featured episode, so.
With the exception of Beautifly, weirdly enough.
But I looked ahead, and we are getting the Wurmple episode coming up soon, so.
True.
Maybe they just felt like it's not going to be a mystery for too long, so just hang on to your hats for Beautifly, I guess. So, Ash makes a mysterious comment where he's like, this is really nice and all, seeing all these Pokemon all over the place because, you know, we're in nature and in the woods and, like, that's where you would expect to see Pokemon. But he's like, there's something strange afoot. There's too many Pokemon around here.
I think he was right. There was a lot running around all at once.
I guess so. Maybe you're right. Maybe that, now that I'm thinking about it, there's a lot in a certain, like, concentration in this, like, one area versus, like, a couple here and there. So he's like, this is weird. Max keeps trying to make friends with these wild Pokemon, but he's doing it all wrong because he's just running up to them, screaming at them, and of course they're going to run off scared. I did check, so he kind of gets into a little bit of a row with May, and I thought this part was really cute because I did check up on his stats that he gives because he recites like some heights and weights of Pokemon, and they are all correct, by the way. I wanted to make sure that he wasn't just pulling our leg or whatever. But yeah, according to Bulbapedia, our favorite source, the heights of Shroomish and Zigzagoon and all that are correct. But they are quickly interrupted by some howling, and three mighty Yenna jump down and confront them, which, honestly, I feel like this would be really scary.
Yes, it would.
Getting confronted by three giant snarling hyena-type Pokemon. Ash and Brock are like, okay, we gotta stand and fight. So they call out their Pokemon, and they're about to... Well, no, they actually get into a battle. They do get into a battle, and they do terribly, by the way, because they're easily defeated by a quick flash of gray, and it turns out there's a little zippy Poochyena that appears and knocks the crap out of Pikachu.
Okay, hot take. Poochyena is cute as hell. I did not think Mighty Yenna was very attractive in this episode. They looked like they had mange or something.
Oh my god. Poochyena and Mighty Yenna are some of my favorite Hoenn Pokemon.
I don't know. The Mighty Yenna weren't doing it for me this episode. Sorry, Mighty Yenna.
They were kind of drawn weird. I think their eyes were drawn a little weird.
Is that what it was?
Like, if you look at the...
Yeah, I'm looking at Mighty Yenna. And, okay, what is this episode called? A Bite to Remember?
Bite to Remember.
Mighty Yenna. Let's do a compare and contrast.
If you look at the art, it looks menacing and sharp, like the angles and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But in this episode, they kind of looked, like, rounded.
Yeah, I see what you mean. They're not snarling. They have, like, big, open, gummy mouths.
Yeah.
I think it's because I don't like the way that they have the mane. It goes off on the right side of the body and the left side of the body. And that looks fine when you're looking at it from the side profile view. But when you're seeing it from up top and you see, like, that huge bald spot on its back. I'm sorry. I just think it looks weird.
Yeah, like, okay, I'm looking at the official artwork, and, like, yeah, it looks like a cape. Like, their mane kind of goes over the side of their flanks or whatever. But, yeah, if you look at them head-on or from the back, they do have a gap.
I don't like that gap. It looks odd.
Because it looks like if you're looking at it and you're really dissecting it, it's kind of like a big eyebrow.
Ew,
it goes
gross,
from
it
their
is.
Eyebrow, yeah, like, it goes all from the way the down. Eyebrow.
It looks weird. It's a little too overly designed, I think.
I don't know. I still give it the benefit of the doubt. I like Mighty Yenna. I always catch one when I play Sapphire, so I like it better than like Linoon.
Oh yeah. But so. Poochyena is perfection.
Poochyena is super cute.
I think Poochyena is very underrated, actually.
I agree with you. Luckily for us, we have a whole episode now dedicated to Poochyena.
And not Mighty Yenna. Mighty Yenna would just make cameos.
I think they knew the difference and like, okay, Poochyena is going to be more acceptable and cuter than Mightyena. So we are defeated by this feisty Poochyena. And at this point, a girl appears and she demands to know what they are doing there because this is a Pokemon preserve and they have wandered in and they're trespassing. No wonder there was a large amount concentration of Pokemon in this area. So now it all makes sense.
Which I had questions about, but I think we're going to get an answer in a minute.
Yeah. So this girl and her bad hair, her hair looks like helmet hair. I'm so sorry. Her name is Ranger Katrina. And Brock, who was suspiciously absent this whole time, suddenly pops in like a weed and starts harassing her because that's what Brock does best. Have we had an instance of him like doing that so far?
Nurse Joy, Officer Jenny.
Oh yeah, that's right. So Team Rocket's also traipsing around the woods at this very moment, and they also spot a variety of Pokemon. And Wobbuffet pops out, and I guess Wobbuffet is the reason why the twerps missed this whole Pokemon preserve situation, because it's somehow gotten its paws on the one tiny wooden sign, and it says that this is the boundary of the preserve.
I laughed at that so hard, because I was like, they never have any fucking signs. And it turns out, yes, they did. Wobbuffet stole it for no reason.
Okay, this sign thing doesn't even make any sense anyway, because you posted in one spot, and this forest is how big? Like, you could come in at any angle and easily miss the sign.
Unless Wobbuffet stole every sign. Like, he walked the perimeter and just scooped them all up.
He does kind of have sticky fingers, I'm sure. Where did he get this from? He just, like, popped out of his Pokeball with it. Wobbuffet, you menace.
I like to think Wobbuffet is, like, the pupa from Solar Opposites. And he, like, just gets into mischief and no one realizes it.
What a reference. God, I haven't thought of Solar Opposites in forever.
I love Solar Opposites. I think it's so charming.
I watched up until, I think it was the alien, like, human ant farm.
That's season one. Well, okay, it's season two and maybe three. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think that's where I stopped. It's supposed to be ending, right?
Oh, is it? Shit. Fuck that.
I think it's supposed to end. Anyway, sorry for that little sidebar.
We never do sidebars. Speaking of which, have you seen Common Side Effects yet?
Oh my god, no, but somebody at work was talking about that.
Oh, it's good. It's good shit.
Okay, I'll have to watch it.
Okay, anyway.
Okay, so Wobbuffet is the cause of the trouble. So Katrina, back with the twerps, she's taking them back to her ranger lodge, and she explains that the feisty Poochyena from before was born around the same time as the other three Mightyena. They're all litter mates, I guess. But this one did not evolve at the same time as its siblings. And this is very upsetting for Max. Max is extremely perturbed by this, and he is going to make it his mission to get this Poochyena on track to evolve. Because everybody knows that when Pokemon evolve, they're just better in every single way. They're stronger, they're more confident. Katrina explains that every Pokemon evolves at different rates, at their own pace, and that sometimes they may not evolve at all, and that's okay.
Like that old Mantrika we saw recently.
Oh, yeah. So it doesn't matter, like, the age of the Pokemon. I guess it's just, like, a will thing or a personal desire kind of thing, like, if it doesn't have a trainer. And even then, like, some Pokemon may decide not to evolve, and that's okay. Case in point, Pikachu, which we'll get into that in a little bit. Max is very upset by this, and he doesn't accept this explanation. This gets Mei thinking of her Pokemon and the fact that she hasn't seen an evolution before. And so she wonders in her mind what Torchic would be like if it evolved. Because how cool would that be?
This was repulsive. I'm sorry.
This was repulsive. I mean, it was funny. So in Mei's mind's eye, she pictures a giant Torchic with washboard abs and pectoral muscles bulging out, rippling. And she, thank God, she wasn't, like, impressed by this vision of hers. She was actually kind of disgusted by it. And she's like, you know what? Forget about that.
I don't like Torchic with too many muscles. Well, I didn't make him for you. Oh,
yeah. Unexpected Rocky Horror.
Yeah, sorry.
So this is really a sweet moment, though, because after that disgusting scene that we get subjected to, we do get some pearls of wisdom from Ash about Pokemon evolving. and that usually happens after you build a relationship of trust with your Pokemon, travel around with them for a while, and it's just a magical, beautiful thing.
And the marketing department decides it's time for the Pokemon to evolve.
That's also a factor. But this is where we get, like Austin kind of mentioned, the explanation, if in case you missed it, type of situation. And Professor Brock jumps in and he's like, you know what? There's all kinds of different ways to evolve. Some Pokemon evolve if you level them up. Other Pokemon evolve via evolution stones. How exciting is that? So we get the Thunderstone, Waterstone, Leafstone kind of explanation. And we get to talk about Eevee for a little bit because also Eevee is really great and cute. And don't you want a Eevee plushie and the corresponding Eeveelution plushie to go with it?
We are nowhere near maximum Eevee overdose yet.
When do they really like lean into that like Eevee thing?
Gen 5 is when it starts.
Okay. But we get an explanation of that. And also some Eeveelutions happen when it's friends with its trainer. And that's how you get Umbreon and or Espeon. Perfect. Thanks so much for that explanation, Brock.
Can we talk about Brock's haiku?
Oh, his write a 9,000 word essay on what you learned.
What do you think of them changing that from Brock imitating Professor Oak doing a haiku to them being like, time to do an essay, class? Just kidding.
I mean, was Professor Oak supposed to pop out? Like,
he's okay. What Brock is doing is at the end of the Japanese episodes, Professor Oak gives a lecture like, this is a Sunflora and Sunflora, blah, 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 blah. And then the Sunflora attacks him. Like, you've seen those clips, right?
Yeah, I think so. A couple.
Yeah. And then the episode ends with that, like, painted background, and Professor Oak gives a haiku, and then it's over. So that's what was going on here with Brock.
So they just kind of snuck it in the middle of this while Brock was doing his little lecture?
Yeah, but obviously we're not familiar with that in the dub, so the dub kind of did its own thing.
I mean, I guess I kind of liked it in the fact that we sort of got exposed to it in the middle of the episode, because as the American audience in the dub, we don't get exposed to that. We don't really see Professor Oak's debriefing segment at the end. I don't know. I thought it was cute.
I'm not too upset about us not getting those.
Nah, I love Professor Oak. Don't get me wrong. He's the OG, but I can be spared his, like, bad haikus. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Here, I sent you a picture.
What are you sending me?
See, Brock was in this liminal space that Professor Oak lives in.
Willow trees and the mountain in the background. Yeah. Regardless, we do not have to write a 9,000-word essay, thank God. But Max didn't learn a single goddamn thing from any of this heartfelt lecture that we get, and instead insists that they hang around the lodge for a little while to give Poochyena the little push that it needs to evolve. Ash is not really happy with this because he's like, no, my badge, I want to go to Rustboro, even though he's the one fucking around all the time. I guess we get to stay here.
I wrote that Ash did not want to waste 22 minutes of his time on this Poochyena thing.
I mean, I kind of get where he's coming from. Like, Max didn't learn anything about this. And I feel like all of the older kids and the adult in the room don't shut Max down and say, no, you know, we already explained this to you. You're being selfish right now. The Pokemon are their own creature with feelings. You can't just force your will onto it. But they don't really, like, do that. They kind of let him do whatever he wants. Case in point, for some reason, May agrees to let Max use Poochyena to battle with Torchic. So I was like, what? Or did you get the feeling that he kind of snuck out with Torchic? Like, I don't know. I was kind of confused.
I don't know. She seems mad later.
I know, she does seem mad about it. But then I'm like, why do you have Torchic in the first place? Like, May would have had to call it out. So I'm not certain what happened with that. Regardless, he's trying to get it to evolve. But Poochyena seems very reluctant to use its bite attack and only keeps using tackle. And apparently that is the obstacle it needs to overcome in order to evolve, because it doesn't get enough experience points using tackle for some reason.
I mean, as a dog, it should be biting everything. That's what they do.
I know, it literally has giant fangs sticking out of its mouth, but whatever. Torchic gets fed up with this after a while and embers the crap out of Poochyena and Max.
Which I loved, because I still think Torchic hates Max.
It does. I love it, like, turns its nose up and, like, walks off in a huff. It's got a little spicy personality, and I'm here for it.
Spicy chicken. Ooh, that sounds fucking good. Let's go to KFC.
Oh my god, spicy chicken. KFC? Oh no, let's go to, like, Popeyes or something.
Ew.
Later on, we run over to Ash. Max tries to get Ash to help out instead. He's like, can I borrow Pikachu? And this is where Ash reiterates that some Pokemon are happy just the way they are, like Pikachu here, and Max needs to respect that.
I was expecting a Lieutenant Surge flashback sequence, but it never happened. Like, I thought for sure that's where we were going with this.
I know, this would have been a prime opportunity to draw on that whole thing, because Ash had an entire dilemma around evolving Pikachu once upon a time.
I know, I thought for sure we were going to pad out the episode with that, but it didn't happen. Weird.
Yeah, I thought he would tell Max of his own personal anecdote and said, like, I had Pikachu here in my early days as a trainer, and I respected the fact that Pikachu didn't want to use the Thunderstone. I got it. And we didn't get the flashback and all that, so whatever. May appears, and she seems a little bit perturbed by the fact that he was using Torchic this whole time, so kind of confused on that whole sequence of events. But regardless, he runs off with Poochyena, and he's going to get this Poochyena to evolve his way. Everything else be damned. He does not care about what they have said to him, and nobody goes to really stop him, so I guess they don't really care either. At this moment, Katrina walks up, and she has a piece of netting in her hand. And she's like, oh, well, this is a sure sign of poachers.
It's Rico.
Rico's back. He's escaped jail, or they let him out early. I don't know. In the woods, Rico is not here. Instead, it's Team Rocket. They are the obvious culprits, and they are spying in the bushes on Max's efforts to evolve the Poochyena. Max turns away for 1 second and then turns back, and suddenly there's a giant doohickey in the middle of the clearing. It's like this big tube with like buttons and knobs and shit all over it. And he has this funny moment where he looks at it and he's like, nope. And he walks away. But Team Rocket appears in their little costume, and he's suckered by their whole evolution research sales pitch. So they're like, we're evolution scientists and we'll help you with your evolution problems. So they use Meowth as their little test subject. They throw him into the tube, close the door, and after the countdown, they open the door to reveal that he evolved, quote-unquote, into a Persian. But it's really Meowth in a super cute Persian onesie. What'd you think of the Meowth Persian costume?
Oh, I own one of those, don't you?
You own the Persian onesie?
Yeah, don't you?
Dang.
Actually, I'm going to Google that. Is that a real thing? I'm sure it is. Persian onesie pajamas.
I think you need to be careful with that.
Okay, so I forgot that Persia was a real place. And a lot of Persian rug patterned pajamas I see That's going nice. On.
Okay. No Persian onesie.
Persian Pokemon fursuit. Let's see what I find.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Is there some sexy ones?
No, there's not.
Is there, like, one with the boobs cut out, like, in Orgy of the Dead?
No, there's not.
I need you to
Google Persian Pokemon fursuit real quick.
Do I need to do this, like, on my phone or something? Like,
maybe.
Okay, you know what? I'm just going to Google it. Hold on.
I am so sorry to the people that made Persian fursuits, but they are scary as fuck.
Okay, I see a Meowth one.
Yeah, that's the second
Eevee
result.
An Eevee one.
I don't... Oh, we're getting different results.
Persian Pokemon onesie.
Oh, I searched fursuit.
Oh, fursuit. Sorry. Okay. Oh my god, there's a Snorlax onesie, you guys. It's super cute.
Oh, the onesies are cute. Okay.
Holy shit.
Yeah, those are not cute.
These are scary. What
the
heck?
Oh my god. Do you like the one with Giovanni standing over the person?
No, I don't, actually.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to these people that put the money and time into these, but but none of these are very appealing to me.
Austin and I just aren't a part of this world. Like, if that's your thing, that's your thing. And you know what? Props to the creativeness that goes into it. But, oh my god, there's a Liepard one, too. God, how much do you think it costs to make these? So much money. Okay, enough of that.
No, see, this one looks good. Look at these. Here's an image of Greninja and I think that's Luxio.
Yeah, I saw those. Those are cute. But they actually look like the Pokemon.
And the Lucario looks good.
Like, these are still cartoony in a cute way. But, like, some of them are, like, a little bit scary.
Okay, here's a good Persian. I found a good one. Like, it looks like Persian.
Yeah, that one looks cute.
I don't like these ones that are, like, scary as fuck.
okay, should I do it? Should I
get a fursuit?
No, I was gonna say, should I mention that one time that we were at that convention?
You know what? Fuck it. Go for it. It's a funny story.
Fuck it. Okay.
We were at the Pokemon Symphony Orchestra thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We went to... This was years ago, you guys.
I don't think they've done that in a long time now.
No, I don't think so.
Pokemon Symphonic Evolutions.
This was over 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Wow. Yeah, it was. Jesus.
Yeah, this was a long time ago, y'all.
They need to bring that back.
It was really fun. It was me and Austin and a friend of ours, too. And we went and we were just walking around and there was a lot of just people milling around. I think some people had, like, accessories and stuff on, but there was this one person, and if I get this retelling wrong, please stop me and correct me.
Okay.
Did they have a leash?
I can't recall. It was 10 years ago.
Okay. I think maybe there was a leash involved. Anyway, there was a person walking around like normal. There was also a person who was in a, what we at the time thought was a Ninetales fursuit. Was it Ninetales or Umbreon? Can't remember.
It was definitely Ninetales. It was Ninetales for sure.
Okay. And I think some other little kid was there and they walked up to this person. And this suit, let me just reiterate the fact that this suit was gnarly.
It was grotesque.
It looked crusty. It was gross. And they walked up to the person and they were like...
Okay. Oh, sorry. What they were doing was they were walking... They were walking around the lobby of this, like, concert venue place. And taking pictures.
With people.
Not with people. Just, like, just them.
Oh, I thought they were taking pictures with people.
Maybe they did later. But at first, what they were doing was taking pictures of just the person in the fursuit, like, sprawled out on the floor or, like, leaning up against a pillar or whatever.
Yeah, they were, like, crawling around on the ground.
And they were doing this for, like, 30 minutes. Like, a long time.
Yeah.
And then the kid wanders up.
Thank you for clarifying. The kid was like, oh, cool. Are you a Ninetales or whatever or an Umbreon? Because, like, let me just reiterate the fact that it didn't look completely like one or the other. It just kind of looked vaguish in its presentation. And they were like, no. And then they walked away.
It was really funny at the time.
It was weird as shit, though, because...
It's like, okay, where do we even begin? Okay, first of all, if you're not Ninetales or Umbreon or whatever, why are you fucking here?
Right?
What are you doing? This is not relevant. This is not a fur convention. We are at the fucking, you know, a relatively fancy concert hall. Like,
I don't recall if there was like a dress code per se. I do remember we were in normal clothes. We were just in jeans and a Pokemon t-shirt or whatever.
Yeah, I thought that was decent.
Normal.
Yeah.
But this person was just like crawling around on the floor in the middle of this...
And it was big. It was, like, huge. Like, the tails went in all directions. It was, like, enormous.
Yeah, this wasn't, like, a little jumpsuit or anything. Like, this was a full-on, like, massive costume.
Also, the way that a child approaches you and they're, like, expressing interest, and you can so coldly just be like, no, and walk away. Can you imagine being so heartless? Good Lord.
I mean... I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that maybe social interactions were not necessarily their strong suit.
Okay, they're not my strong suit either. I know how to behave with a child, you know?
Even if it wasn't per se, like, I guess you could just, I don't know, tell them that and be like, yeah, do you like it? And they'd be like, yeah, or something. And then you'd be like, yeah, thanks, anything. That's awesome. Anything. But this person was not about...
If you're not Ninetales, what the fuck are you doing here? Get the hell out of here.
I know. I didn't even remember seeing them in the actual symphony hall. Like, how do you sit in a seat with that? You don't.
I'm assuming they changed out of it.
So they just went there to crawl around on the floor in that, and then they jumped out of it to, like, see the concert.
Not normal behavior. Anyway.
Anyway.
Sorry, it's up Meow's Persian suit.
I've been sitting on that memory for years, guys, and it just finally came up in this podcast. I don't know
why. Literally 10 years. We had other weird interactions at that event.
Yeah, it was weird.
I love going to Pokemon stuff because you feel like the most normal person in the world.
No shade to anybody out there.
No just, shade. So much shade.
All the shade. I'm trying to be diplomatic, Austin.
Like, oh my god, leave 5-star. I've reached the point, we're like 170 episodes in. I don't care anymore.
If you're still listening after all this time, you're with us, right? You're with us.
Well, some people started listening with advanced episode 1. The numbers reflect that.
We're so glad to have you guys.
Yeah! We are mean people. Stick around.
We are 5 not stars. Mean. Oh my gosh. We're the most understanding, fun people out there.
That is not true. Go on.
Anyway, so if that was you out there, I'm so sorry.
Learn to behave yourself in public. I'm not sorry.
be nice to the kids who are trying to take an interest in your craft. I don't know. Anyway, God, where the hell was I?
Meowth is wearing a Persian suit.
Okay, yeah. So Meowth is wearing a Persian fursuit. So this keeps happening. Meowth keeps changing into his many costumes that he has. Max is flabbergasted by this. He's like, a Persian can't evolve into a Sunflora.
The return of the Sunflora costume.
Yeah, we see that again. Super cute. What else did he change into? I didn't make a list.
It was all downhill from Sunflora.
Okay. It was a menagerie of different stuff. Anyway, at one point, Meowth gets overwhelmed because they keep making him jump out in rapid succession. And eventually, he has a mishmash of costumes all in a terrible chimera abomination. And he's like a Persian, a Sunflora, some other stuff. I don't know. And Max is like, that's not right. He's not fooled. But before he can run away with Poochyena, they snatch it up and throw it into the tube. Fortunately, though, the twerps appear at this very moment. And Team Rocket reveals themselves, if it wasn't already obvious. They snatch up Poochyena alongside some other forest Pokemon. There's a Sudowoodo there, too, by the way. And they fly away. They grab Pikachu by grabbing it with Handy Andy.
Hey!
Hey! The return of Handy Andy. They snatch up Pikachu, fly off, but Talo, fortunately, pecks the balloon. Poochyena is encouraged by Max to bite through the rope, finally.
You know those puppies, you got really encouraged them to bite things.
It kind of goes against any, like, conventional dog training, right? It's like you don't want your dog to bite stuff or whatever.
Bite through that shit, Poochyena. Destroy it!
So he finally encourages the violence. Poochyena obliges. They fall to the ground. They get rescued. Hooray. Team Rocket blasts off again. After blasting off, Max finally tells it, Poochyena, you're just perfect the way you are. And you don't need to evolve if you don't want to. But the brainwashing was sufficient, and Poochyena just evolves because it thinks it's doing something nice for Max. And then Max ends up leaving.
Yeah.
So it just evolved for nothing.
Poochyena had a hell of a day.
I know. I feel so bad for it, actually. It didn't want to evolve. Max gets involved, and then he evolves for Max, and then, like, Max is like, okay, goodbye. I'll never see you again.
I mean, that Poochyena was very willing to go along with whatever Max said. It was like, okay, we're friends now. At one point, Max ran away, frustrated, and he was like, come on, Poochyena. And Poochyena just followed him without even thinking about it. I guess it's a puppy. Puppies like to play around.
Follow. I just feel bad. I want to say, like, in my fan fiction, in my mind, that Max comes back for it as, like, an older trainer and, like, hangs out with it. But
nope.
Nope. Anyway, the end. All that for nothing. Thanks, Max. You just ruined this Pokemon's life.
I mean, I think it'll be fine.
The end.
Okay, MVP, LVP, end quote. Flippy flip. Oh, where'd he go?
Ooh, on the floor.
I'm first again.
Okay.
MVP. I will give it to Brock for his impromptu lecture. LVP, I'm going to give it to Meowth for that horrifying chimera costume he threw on at the end there. Very evocative of that person that was not a Ninetales at the concert. And it also made me think of the Chimera from Full Metal Alchemist with Nina.
I know, it did.
That shit has scarred a generation.
I know. I think all of us can, like, think of that and be terrified.
Anyone who grew up watching Adult Swim. Anyway, my quote is going to be Ash saying about Max, that was weird. And then May says, well, he's a weird kid.
All right, my MVP is going to be, gosh, who even deserves it?
Wobbuffet for stealing the sign?
No, because without Wobbuffet, we wouldn't have ruined this Poochyena's life.
Okay.
My MVP is going to be, I'm going to give it to the Stantlers.
What?
For just being unapologetic in their fucking weirdness.
They are a Stantler and they are here to announce it to you.
Nobody does Stantler quite like Stantler. They're just so fucking strange and I have to appreciate them for that. So, also, I didn't have anybody better. My LVP is going to be May for coming up with that horrible abomination Torchic evolution thing in her mind. That was completely unnecessary and I was scarred after seeing that.
Amazing how Max avoided the MVP LVP this week.
You never know who's going to get it. It just depends on my mood. My quote is, okay, this burn from Brock to Ash at the beginning.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
Brock is so over this shit. I'm glad he's kind of, like, being sassy and not letting Ash just, like, call the shots anymore.
Do you think he's taking over Misty's role?
Maybe.
That's what's happening?
I guess he's the only, like, holdover. He's Ash's, like, longest friend, so I guess he has the ability to kind of give it back. But anyway, so this is when Max is expressing his excitedness over meeting Pokemon in person versus just looking at them in books or on TV or whatever. And Ash says, "I know what you mean. Up close, they're really alive, right? All the reading about Pokemon and the world isn't nearly as cool as the experience of seeing them or making friends with them or winning battles with your Pokemon at your side." And Brock says, "Ha! Or losing battles, since you have some experience in that area as well."
Oh, random. Okay.
Okay. And Ash doesn't even get a chance to kind of, like, retort to that, because that's when the Mightyena come out. So we'll never know what he was going to say back to that.
Can I point out the quote of Team Rocket when Jesse, they're talking about making money or whatever. Jesse says, "I can buy a new house." And James says, "I can move out of Mom's."
Oh, he's not even living at home anyway. What the hell?
Very odd. I guess it's just like, don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't think about the fact that makes no sense. Don't think about it. Isn't that a funny gag, living at Mom's? Ha 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 ha.
Were they appealing to all the... Well, I guess it wouldn't be appealing to anybody.
All the neats.
Neats.
Yeah.
What's that stand for again?
It's a UK thing. Not employed, educated, or in education, or in training. So you don't do anything.
Oh, you're just kind of sitting there.
Yep.
I can, like, empathize with that now, because it's like, okay, as an adult, and the economy's shit, and nobody can afford to, like, buy a house or do anything as an adult, so.
It's gonna get worse. You got a recession being artificially created because of anti-American interests. Anyway.
Yay! Anyway, next episode. Hooray.
The Lotad Lowdown.
Ooh.
I'll time you. Get ready. In 3, okay. 2, 1, go.
We're at the lake, and we've stopped to have fun. We don't notice when a bunch of lily pads surround us and pull us to our doom. No, actually, it's just a bunch of Lotad. We end up at the Pretty Petal Flower Shop, where we meet the sisters and a very weird Lotad that can use water gun. Some berry stuff happens, and we get to have Team Rocket almost die of dehydration. Lotad's there. We get a boss fantasy. Lotad ends up wanting to go with Brock, and so we get into Pokemon.
All right. What do you think of this one, Alex?
That was a bad summary. Sorry.
That was good.
I don't know. I kind of liked the fact that we got to see one of the in-game areas, like, outside of Petalburg.
I don't remember the Pretty Petal Flower Shop. I mean, I remember it existing, but I don't remember the details. Is the point of it exactly like it is in this episode? You go up and they tell you about berries and stuff?
It's about planting berries, and it's right outside of the other end of the Petalburg Woods. So, like, once you come out of the woods, it's right there.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they just teach you about berries and stuff.
So, pretty one-for-one episode, it sounds like.
Yeah.
The twerps are taking their time getting to Rustboro because we gotta go swimming. And as you said, because you did a really good job with the 30-second summary, all these evil lily pads come up and they try to drown the twerps. But it turns out they're just friendly Lotad. We want to greet them.
Okay, real talk though. Like, first of all, have you ever been swimming in a lake and something like brushes your leg?
No.
And it's like the worst horrible panic feeling. I used to swim in the lake as a kid.
You know what I don't do? Is go in the water.
Yeah. So I learned my lesson, though. I used to be more of a swimmer in my youth. I since became
enlightened,
and decided that swimming was not for me. I don't like the pool. I don't like the water. The lake is gross. And, like, when you become older and more cognizant of the fact of, like, yeah, the lake is actually nasty and full of pollution and shit and piss and all this stuff. Also, the lakes around here are artificially, like, created, so they literally flooded what used to be a town, and so there's, like, dead bodies and cars and buildings and shit under there. It's not a place you want to swim. Anyway, when something brushes your leg when you're swimming around, it's a terrible feeling. So imagine a bunch of ominous plants surrounding you, grabbing you by the legs, and pulling you under the water.
Thankfully, it's just Lotad, and Lotads are silly little guys.
Can you explain to me how Lotad's eyes work?
They receive light, and the eyes transmit it to their brains, and they translate it into images that they are able to process.
Well, yes, but, like, did you actually look at the Lotad's eyes?
Not in detail, no. Okay, let's look at a Lotad.
Like, if you look at the Lotad, they have two white circles, right, for eyes?
Yes.
And then they have little black pinpoints, I guess, what you think is a pupil. So you would think the white thing, the white circle, was its whole eyeball and it would blink the whole white circle, but that's not what happens. It's the black pinpoint that blinks.
Oh, my explanation for that is it's a cartoon and it's stylized.
Gotcha. Got it. Okay.
That's my reasoning for that.
Thank you.
Does Lotad show up in Detective Pikachu? No, Ludicolo does.
Ludicolo.
Do you remember what Ludicolo looks like?
Yes, I do.
In Pokemon Detective Pikachu?
Oh, no.
I sent you a picture.
Oh my god. It's horrible.
So Ludicolo clearly has two eyes and it must be able to blink.
Ew. Wait, what does a normal Ludicolo look like? And I say normal, I meant the drawn one.
Okay, Ludicolo.
Oh, it's just
like this.
Soulless, flat eyes.
Those are the eyes of a killer, Bella.
They are. Ludicolo does look like it would murder you.
So all the Lotads are actually really nice, but then they throw the twerps out of the lake. So I thought they were being territorial. But it turned out they were just doing their welcoming ritual in which they all line up along the shore and shoot out water guns and make a rainbow. And Max notes that's weird because Lotads can't learn water gun. So I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Lotads do learn water gun, but only as an egg move. So clearly this squad or whatever of Lotad, this load of Lotad, someone somewhere fucked something that wasn't a Lotad and it introduced water gun to the breeding pool and now they all know it.
That's an interesting implication. So the fact that all of them know water gun, does that mean they're all like seriously inbred? Also, fun fact, so I didn't know the thing about the egg move, but that's interesting. I did look up to see when or if they learned it by leveling up, and that they do, but that doesn't happen until generation 8.
Yes.
That's crazy to me. Water gun's like the most basic water move. That's so weird.
Well, you looked at Lotad's moves in generation 3 and they're like garbage.
Can you remind me, because they don't have any moves in gen 3.
That's why I never use Lotad. Okay, Astonish, Growl, Absorb, Nature Power, Mist, Rain Dance, Mega Drain.
That's nothing. Where's the offensive moves? What the heck?
It learns Mega Drain at level 43, by the way.
Okay, if you were to evolve it into a Lombre or a Ludicolo. Okay, let's see Lombre, because Ludicolo is a stone evolution.
Lombre evolves at level 14.
Does it learn anything upon leveling up?
Lombre can learn leveling up. The same stuff. Fake Out, Fury Swipes, Water Sport, Thief, and Uproar. So nothing.
Oh my god. This thing is unusable.
Oh, and Hydro Pump.
At 49.
Yeah. And then Ludicolo is a stone evolution, so I don't think it learned anything.
Okay, so it's got some decent TM and HM attacks, though. You can teach it Water Pulse, Ice Beam, Giga Drain, Solar Beam. So you basically have to rely on TMs to give it any sort of useful offensive move.
And this is back when TMs were one use only.
Oh god, gross. Okay. Early Pokemon games were a nightmare.
I understand why the anime gave Lotad a water gun attack. That makes perfect sense.
So it could actually do something?
Do something. Sure. Do something, Lotad. Well, one Lotad can't do something because it struggles to use water gun. It's very challenged and it's unable to use water gun proficiently. Brock goes over and he's like, it's okay, Lotad. And the Lotad responds by spraying him in the face.
This thing was like rip your skin off level of water gun.
Because this Lotad is a little different, and that's okay. I wonder what's going to happen. I don't know. Who could tell? Not the opening sequence, that's for sure. A random girl comes up and starts yelling at everyone. Meanwhile, Team Rocket. James is dying because he is going to die of dehydration.
Oh my god, James.
Jesse and Meowth spot something very interesting. It's a tomato berry.
Oh my god, we've never seen one of those before.
I think this is the debut of lots of berries, because Jesse and Meowth are like, hooray, fruit of some sort. So they bite into it, and we are introduced to the running gag of tomato berries being the spiciest thing in the entire world. They make you spray flames from your mouth, because it's just that hot.
I mean,
while poor James sits dying on the ground.
Technically, if you see a giant red fruit that has spikes coming off of it, is your first instinct to eat it?
I would never not eat me. A random fruit off of a tree. I would never.
Me either.
But I'm not Team Rocket.
I would not either, again. But they were on the verge of death, so maybe desperation.
All right, away from Team Rocket, we are at, what do you call it? The pretty petal?
Pretty Petal Flower Shop.
The Pretty Petal Flower Shop, which looks less like a flower shop and more like a log cabin in the middle of nowhere.
With giant irrigation pipes coming off of it.
Yeah, it was very unappealing, I would say. I would not go there to buy my flowers. It is run by Nicole, who's the older sister, and Natalie, who is the younger sister. Nicole offers the twerps a pie, and she apologizes for the younger sisters being annoying to them. But at this point, the implied lesbian sister, Rita, comes in. And she has a whalemer pail.
Austin, I thought of you immediately with the pie.
We're getting to the pie, but first we gotta talk about...
Oh my god, I'm so excited. Okay.
Rita's like the mechanic, and she has like the short hair, and she wears like a jumpsuit. They're implying lesbian, of course.
Okay, I have a question. Why is it in the Pokemon anime that the lesbian implied character is always a mechanic?
She what?
In Horizons.
Oh, right. I forgot about her.
What's her name again?
Orla is a lesbian, like, very clearly.
Yeah, so why are they always making the lesbian character the mechanic?
Admittedly, this character, Rita, is not actually implied to be a lesbian. I'm extrapolating.
Okay.
Because of her deeper
voice and short haircut.
But Orla actually, like, is gay. So, there you go.
We had a whole episode with her and the Pokeball girl.
Yeah, she is. Like, that's unquestionable. This girl's just a rando.
Yeah, this girl's just, she's the tinkerer around the house, I guess. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But she has a whalemer pail, which I thought was a cute touch. Brock is hitting on both of the older sisters, and little Natalie is upset because why isn't Brock hitting on her? She wants to be sexually harassed.
I'll tell you why. One, because she's clearly a child, and two, because she has the same horrendous haircut as that one kid, Egan.
Oh my god, you're so right. I knew she looked familiar.
God, her fucking hair. It was horribly distracting.
So she's insane, and she's in love with Brock. Apparently she has the tendency to follow her older guys. Honestly, I think the show is suffering from the lack of Misty at this time.
Really?
In one specific detail.
Oh, wow.
With the Brock hitting on people, he doesn't get comeuppance. In the previous episode, Poochyena attacked him. But in this one, no one does anything about it. So it just kind of feels unfinished to me.
His comeuppance in this episode is the fact that he gets a taste of his own medicine with unwanted sexual attention.
Very Saxon White Lotus season 3.
He can never take what he dishes out. When it's somebody he is not interested in and they show an interest in him, like Tamaku or this girl or whatever, and he's clearly uninterested, he gets very uncomfortable.
Yeah, Brock, it's almost like that's inappropriate behavior in some way.
Exactly. So I think that his comeuppance in this one was the fact that he got a taste of his own sour medicine, so...
Fucking Brock.
Brock.
I swear he's the worst sometimes.
I still love Brock, okay?
Okay. Anyway, Brock aside, older sister Nicole offers everyone some pie, and it's a very interesting pie, because it's orange berry pie.
This pie looks like a pizza.
This pie looked disgusting. It was nasty. What the fuck was this?
Okay, so I was thinking of Austin because Austin's always saying how much he wants to try an oranberry.
I want to try. Don't you think an oranberry looks so fucking good?
I mean, it does look so fucking good. It's like a giant apple-sized.
It looks like it would taste like a blue raspberry flavor.
I know. It looks so good. I would try it. However, this fucking pie was like floppy, disgusting, soggy-looking pizza-shaped. It was gross.
It looked like how you put pineapples on a pizza, but they were oranberries.
It was blue. It was literally like a pizza with like bright blue jam all over it and like slices of orange berries on it.
And Ash and May are like, this is really fucking weird, but it's good. And I'm like, maybe.
Okay.
I can't believe that's our introduction to the orange berries. This disgusting pie.
Nasty pie.
Meanwhile, younger sister Natalie has made like 30 orange berry pies and she gives them all to Brock.
Oh my god, you know what it reminded me of?
What?
I'm so sorry. The pie from Thinner.
I knew you were going to say that. I was waiting for it.
Y'all, if you have not seen the Stephen King movie, Thinner. Oh
don't
my
watch
God.
It.
It's about a cursed pie.
I was thinking of that, and I was thinking of Family Guy when Meg puts her pubic hair in a pie.
Oh yeah. My God. Cool whip. Oh my God.
An iconic episode, even though it's stupid.
My hair, Brian. My hair is in the pie.
God, ew. We are a weird Pokemon podcast.
Anyway,
Brock is like, okay, I guess I'll eat your hair pie. So the Pokemon frolic everywhere. And we get an introduction. The sisters introduce us to the concept of berries. But these aren't regular berries. These are video game berries. Because each of these berries has a name. And if a Pokemon eats them, it has specific traits that it does for the Pokemon. For instance, we have the Orin berries. And we don't say it, but the Orin berries heal HP. We have Tetchin berries, which heal poison.
Good. You caught that too.
Where did Tetchin come from?
It's like Pidgeot, but like Petchin berry.
I wonder, like, they literally just made a typo.
I mean, I'm assuming they just added an N.
Yes.
Onto the end of Petcha, because...
Whoops. Oopsie.
Petchin berries.
What do you think of Petcha berries? You think they look... I mean, they're a peach, right?
They look good. I would eat one. They look very peachy.
Apparently, all the twerps have never heard of these very well-known Pokemon-specific berries that grow everywhere all the time.
This was news to them.
Because we're being introduced to them as an audience.
Sure.
Ash runs over and tries to eat a tomato berry, but that would be a mistake. So he can't eat that. Natalie says, here, Brock, I'm going to give you a book with information on all the berries, just like she does in the game. And Brock says, oh, thank you, Natalie. And she says, anything for my boyfriend.
Oh, God.
So she's gone full misery on us. At this point, the Lotads walk up, and they have all brought water on their little lily pads, and they all begin to tend to the garden. And the girls are like, yeah, you know, these Lotads, it's their way of thanking us for giving them berries all the time. Is the implication that they learned Water Gun to help with gardening? I don't know.
I guess. I mean, doesn't Nicole say something about that? She's like, these are really special. They special just Lotads. Help us out. Whatever. I guess their old irrigation system is so rusted out, and I couldn't help but think of the Sunflora people.
Oh, I did too.
Sunflora town with their bad irrigation system.
That irrigation system was going for miles and miles and miles, though. Like, alongside the road. That was ridiculous.
True.
At this point, Meowth has a boss fantasy. Any thoughts?
What the fuck was this? What? Meowth basically implies that Giovanni is a lazy fuck who can't even be bothered to get out of his own bed to, like, wash his face.
Because if he had a Lotad, brush his teeth. The Lotad would be like a mobile sink that would come to his bed so he could do his morning routine.
And you're sitting there in your bed brushing your teeth and washing your hair, getting soap and water everywhere in your bed. Ew.
This was a cutesy Giovanni. Meowth didn't go for the sexy naked Giovanni, which is where I think he would go. He was imagining Giovanni sleeping. It was like Giovanni in like button-up pajamas.
We get two different kinds of boss fantasies sometimes. One, we get like the sexy one where he's like lounging at the pool in his Speedo and everything is like overemphasized, like drawn.
Which is the better boss fantasies.
Definitely. And then we get these like little kid crayon kind of drawing style of boss fantasy where it's like Giovanni in his little like sleeping cap and his little button up pajamas and the little swirly sun in the window. Like, I wasn't a fan of this kind of boss fantasy.
The inferior boss fantasies.
If you're going to do it, like you said, go all out and just do the sexy one.
Anyway, back in reality, the stupid Lotad is having some issues because it's causing a traffic jam of Lotads because it stands there not and like doesn't know what to do. It like completely loses sense of itself and where it is.
Maybe it has an inner ear problem.
It has some sort of problem. So Brock has to walk up to the Lotad and be like, he's very nice and sweet and understanding with the Lotad. And he's like, here, Lotad, lower your head like this, and the water will fall out. And so Lotad eventually complies, and Brock is very sweet in his praise. And he's like, good job, Lotad. See, you can do anything if you set your mind to it. And Lotad has never received any sort of praise before in its life. So it immediately hooks onto Brock. It is not going to let him go.
It's a little brain damaged, but that's okay.
It's very brain damaged.
We love it.
Natalie has left. It's like now nighttime, almost. And Natalie has left to go find a citrus berry, because the citrus berries are not in bloom. And oh my god, Brock wants to see a citrus berry. Oh my god. Very childlike logic happening.
She wants to impress him.
Stupid girl. So she runs out into the woods. Rita, Brock, and Ash run out to find her, because what will happen if she's in the woods alone at night in the Pokemon world? Probably nothing.
Nothing at all.
She'll go off a cliff, like they always do.
Okay, sure.
Oh my god, they find her. She's, like, covered in, like, dirt and crap. And she gets attacked by a Beedrill. Oh my god. But Fortress heroically saves her from the Beedrill. And then Team Rocket show up, and they're in a land boat. And the land boat... I don't remember exactly what they do. The land boat then goes out into the water and becomes a water boat. okay, and scoops up all the Lotads. Oh my god, they're attacking the Lotads now. May and Max and the older sister, what's her name? Nicole. They show up and they're like, oh my god, what are we going to do? We're useless. Then it turns out Lotad, the stupid Lotad, is using itself as a boogie board and propelling himself with a water gun. So Pikachu can ride on Lotad, jump up, attack Team Rocket in their boat, and they get blasted off. And the next morning, shit actually happens, because first Natalie gives her berry decks to Brock. We are told that Rustboro City is just ahead. So of course it's going to take us several episodes to get there.
Okay, great. Can't wait for that.
And May is still, she's like, oh yay, a gym battle. Hooray. I'm totally going to do that. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to do a gym battle. And at this point, the Lotad waddles up and tells Brock that it's going along with us. So now we have a Lotad, and it's the stupid one. So hooray!
Yay!
This is good. We needed more Pokemon in the team.
Brock has apparently moved away entirely from catching rock-type Pokemon.
Yes, he has.
Because now he has a bug steel Pokemon, and now he has a water grass Pokemon.
Yes.
So he's completely taken on the Misty role now that he's catching water Pokemon, I suppose.
Has Brock ever... He's never caught a rock type. I mean, he will later, but...
Like, you mean he never caught one?
Yeah.
That he didn't, like, already have?
He caught a Zubat the first day we met him. He was given a Vulpix. He caught a Pineco. And now he caught a Lotad.
I guess not. He's always just... He had Geodude and Onix, but that was about it.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't have either one of those, so... We got Fortress and Lotad.
Forest is the one who's taking up the rock type gym responsibilities. Brock is off doing his own thing.
I guess Brock is kind of free, you know? He's not really bound to that whole, like, persona anymore. He can kind of do what he wants. What do you think about the Hoenn team so far? Like, who we've got on the roster?
My question is, why are we getting Lotad now and not Mudkip?
For Brock?
Yeah. It seems like we're taking an awfully long time to get to Mudkip.
Well, I guess we have to save the surprise. I don't know.
Mudkip's in the opening. It's not a surprise. Okay.
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know. We have Torchic and Treecko right off the bat. So
yeah.
I know what happens in the next couple episodes, who we get. We'll have to wait and see about that.
I think we're not complete until we get Corphish and Mudkip. I think that's when it falls into place for me.
I love Corphish. Oh my gosh.
Not there yet.
I know. We got a little ways to go. It's a good team so far, in my opinion. But I think all the Hoenn Pokemon are pretty strong.
Yeah.
So it's easy to, like, have a good team so early.
I mean, Fortress stands out because why the hell is he there? But...
I mean...
I think they felt bad for Fortress because it was barely in Johto. So now it's going to be here for no reason.
I mean, I'm kind of glad we have at least one fully evolved, stronger Pokemon because it's not Pikachu, I'll tell you that much. Pikachu gets taken out by, like, one little Poochyena and it's pretty pathetic. So that always seems to happen. Anyway, MVP, that's great.
LVP, end quote, for the Lotad Lowdown. Tails, you're first.
Okay, my MVP is going to be the Lotad. Our Lotad.
Main Lotad, okay.
Main Lotad. Special Lotad. He, he's something, and I just, my heart just goes out to him because he needs some support, and so...
If any wild Pokemon needs to join the twerps, it's this one.
It couldn't have survived on
its own. No, it needed Brock really bad.
I don't know. It seems deceptively, like, I think there's more to this Lotad than meets the eye. I feel like it's gonna give Brock a run for his money, and I'm here for that. It's not Krogunk, but it's something.
I'm glad someone looked at Lotad and they were like, I have an idea. Let's have an insane Lotad that, like, is very hard to understand.
It's an enigma.
It's a very mysterious little creature.
We can't comprehend the genius that's actually going on inside Lotad's mind. So I'm going to give it to Lotad because I imagine that we'll have a lot of fun times with it in the future. My LVP is going to be Meowth for giving us that waste of time boss fantasy that could have been way more than what it was.
It should have been like Giovanni getting out of the shower and all the Lotads dump water on him or whatever.
Like he should have, you know what it should have been? It should have been Giovanni in the shower. No, it should have been Giovanni in a jacuzzi and all the Lotads are like the little bubble jets.
Oh my God.
Like shooting water guns at him. And then like the Lotads come with their like little dish heads and they give him like drinks and fruits and like
ooh, towel I like that.
To like dry himself off and like all this stuff. It could have been so much steamier than we got. So fuck you, Meowth, for not fully committing to the boss fantasy. My quote, okay, it's going to be when Team Rocket is blasting off again and Jesse says, I guess I can kiss that corner office goodbye. James says, that's not all you can kiss, Jess. Meowth says, you can kiss our butts goodbye.
Yeah, that was good.
That's all I had.
Kind of a weak sauce for episode for quotes. But I do want to say, look at what I found.
What? God only knows. Ooh, an Oranberry tart.
Oranberry marmalade fan art, it says.
Okay, I really want one.
And we got, and look at this. It's an Oranberry Swiss roll.
Ooh, I guess other people have the same thought as you, Austin. They want to turn these into real dishes.
Petcheberry popsicle and Oranberry popsicle.
Oh my gosh. Stop, people. This is too much.
I found this all by Googling Oranberry pie, and there's so much good stuff. People will come up with some really appetizing looking shit.
These popsicles look amazing. What? What is this gasp?
Oranberry Kit Kats.
Oh my gosh.
Man, I would love an Oranberry. Oh, the obsession begins.
Can somebody please out there in the food, like genetically modified food industry, create one of these, please?
Yeah, get those dire wolf people to get some Oranberries.
Look, if you can bring like a woolly mammoth and shit back from the dead and like a dire wolf, you can make an Oranberry. Like, let's go.
Even though I still have no idea what they're supposed to taste like. Anyway, my MVP. I'm going to give it to Natalie for giving Brock a taste of his own medicine. And she's a little girl, so she's allowed. She, you know, that's a bit more appropriate. And my LVP is going to be Brock for being annoying to the older sisters.
I just want to clarify that I do love Brock, and he's very entertaining, but I don't condone his weird sexually harassing behavior sometimes.
My quote, this is weak, but James says, when they're on the boat, James says, now what's the next step in this plan? And Meow says, I can't say, loose lips sink ships.
Ah. I also had that one written down.
Yeah, not the best.
They're not all winners as far as quotes go, but
it's okay. It's okay. It's all right.
It's all right. All right. All right. Well, what do we have next week, Austin?
All things Bright and Beautiful, which is not the Wurmple episode. We also have a Chronicles episode called The Blue Badge of Courage.
Oh, another Chronicles episode. Okay.
God, these Chronicles episodes are constant.
How many more Chronicles episodes do we have to cover?
Like a fuck ton.
Oh, okay. This isn't just a one-off thing.
No, it is not.
Several of these. All right, well, cool. Look forward to that. I don't recall what that is at all, so we'll be surprised together. How about that? Well, if you don't have any final thoughts, Austin, do you? Any final thoughts?
My head is as empty as Lotad's.
We want to say thank you so much for listening, as always. If you want to get in touch with us, send us a message, you can always do that at our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. You can also follow us over on Blue Sky. Austin posts some really fun stuff over there, so give us a follow. The handle is @outofthedryingpan. Again, @outofthedryingpan. We also have an Instagram that you can follow us on over there as well. Same handle, @outofthedryingpan. And if you like what we do and want to support us, we would super appreciate it. You can check out our Patreon. We have all kinds of fun bonus content over there, so give it a look-see. And as always, we want to say thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week as the journey continues.